Hi, my name is Sydney, and no matter what, I will always be a bitch for the people, by the people, always for fanfiction authors. I will always be supporting a fanfiction author till the end of my day. Thank you, and goodbye.
Hi, my name is Maya. I mean, me too, and I don't know where this is going, so I'm a little confused. This is our show, Canonically Incorrect, where we talk about anything and everything fanfiction related.
Woo! Yes, today I'm not going to be talking about a specific fandom. Well, technically, I guess I am. But today I have a drama episode. So I dug into some history for fanfiction drama. These are my favorites to do. But before I get into it, I have some stuff to catch up on. First of all, I like to do the Patreon roundups, so to talk about what we did on our Patreon in the month of March. Don't...
Yeah, I'm pulling out the collar of the shirt because I fucked up.
Maya had a lot of classwork, so she...
They're getting a double episode this week.
Yes.
They're getting two episodes this week to make up for I missed my last one.
Yes. So,
I'm so sorry, and I know I've apologized for it many a time, but I'm very sorry.
If you want to listen to Maya's double trouble episode... Two episodes for the price of one.
Yeah, one of the episodes we'll be talking about the House of the Dragon.
Ooh.
I just finished watching it, so I had a lot to talk about.
Very
and then
nice.
The other one,
love to see it.
You're gonna have to figure out what that is.
But I went ahead and I talked about the 2023 Oscar Best Picture nominations because I watched them all except for Avatar because I refused to.
James Cameron can suck my dick.
Yeah. So I went through and like my least favorite to my favorite. So I went in order to just talk about them all.
Who's your most favorite?
Everything ever all at once.
I mean, I figured.
Yeah.
Well. Who's your second favorite?
Women Talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Slide.
I loved Women Talking. I didn't expect it to because there was a lot of like mixed reviews, and now I'm almost positive that the bad reviews were for men.
An astute observation.
Yeah. So, but I loved it. I came out of the theater sobbing, and I was like, why are the rest of you acting this way? Like, literally, like, why are the rest of you bitches? It was such a good movie. And then my third was Banshees of Inisherin.
I need to watch Banshees.
Yeah.
I've also been meaning to watch The Lighthouse with Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
I've heard so many great things about that movie, and I want to understand.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
So it's on my list. Maybe I'll watch it tonight because I don't plan on sleeping. So
per. Yeah. And then we did a joint episode to celebrate the release of the new Dungeons and Dragons movie. So Maya put together a fun little bracket for us. We did another bracket like we did for the Monster Fucker episode where we did best fighter.
Correct.
And then best lover.
Yes.
Which...
But we always fight on the lover category because Sydney focuses more on the fucking.
I do focus more on the fucking.
And I focus more on the homebody.
Yeah.
So.
We did that again where she was just like, you have to let go of the sex. And I was like, but this is...
No! Stop it! I'm going to start bringing a spray bottle to the sessions.
Stop it! So that was our Patreon. If you would like to join us over there, we have a lot of other bonus episodes. It's patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can join our Discord. We have four different tiers. The bonus content episodes are $5 a month. We all have fun over there.
Yippee.
So, and I also have some news to bring to table.
Mm-mm-mm.
So one, I think you might be really excited about. NetEase's Lord of the Rings game hosts fanfiction contest to win a Middle Earth journey to New Zealand.
Whoa. This is huge. I didn't know about this. Where can I enter?
So there is a new simulation game released by NetEase. They're organizing a fanfiction contest for its character Maltham Peddler, where winners will receive round trip tickets to visit the Hobbiton movie set in New Zealand.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You want to send me that link?
I will send you the link. So the Lord of the Rings Rise to War is a real-time strategy game set in Middle-earth, and I also pulled all this information from their news release. Thank you so much. It offers players the opportunity to lead Middle-earth heroes to seize land vie for the ring and command the entire Middle-earth.
That's cool.
So players can choose to play as elves and dwarves or even join evil forces of Mordor and expand their territory with players of the same side. So the fanfiction contest is centered around the Maltham House, a setting in the original fiction. It is a building similar to a museum or home to objects and rare oddities the hobbits call Maltham. Stories about its owner, the Maltham Peddler, have long been told in the Shire. Some claim the Maltham House has been open for generations. Others call the Maltham Peddler a traveler who has traversed all of Middle-earth, and some even say that he is the mastermind pulling the strings behind all major forces in Middle-earth. Mm-hmm. So they call for fanfiction authors to use their imagination with the settings of the Middle-earth world and write a story for the Maltham Peddler. 5 of the best submitters will be given round-trip tickets to New Zealand to visit the movie set in Matamata, the shooting location of Lord of the Rings movies. Or if you can't go to that, they give you $2,000 US dollars. That is all the information they have. They don't have, like, a deadline. They don't have a submission. I sent an email because I was like, this is your news release. I need more information. But that was what I could find for that. But super cool fanfiction authors.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Write a little lore about this little guy who collects a bunch of oddities.
Trinkets.
That's your favorite. I love. And then you get to go to New Zealand.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Dream come true.
Crazy. And then the second one is more of a conversation that I want to have with you. Okay. So Esther Yee's debut novel, YN, is a novel about a Korean-American woman living in Berlin whose obsession with a K-pop idol sends her to Seoul on a journey of literary self-destruction.
Okay.
So I pulled the Goodreads description. The Goodreads description reads, "It's as if her life only began once Moon appeared in it. Desultory copywriting work, the boyfriend, and the want of anything not Moon quickly fall away when she beholds the idol in concert, where Moon dances as if his movements are creating their own gravitational field on live streams as fans from around the world comment in dozens of languages, even on skincare products endorsed by the wildly popular Korean boy band, of which Moon is the youngest, most luminous member. Seized by ineffable desire, our unnamed narrator begins writing YN fanfic, in which you, the reader, insert your name and play out an intimate relationship with the unattainable star. Then Moon suddenly retires, vanishing from the public eye. As YN flies from Berlin to Seoul to be with Moon, our narrator, too, journeys to Korea in search of the object of her love. An escalating series of mistranslations and misidentifications lands her at the headquarters of the Kafkaske Entertainment Company that manages the boy band until, at the secret location, together with Moon, at last art and real life approach their final convergence." So this is a new debut novel, published, traditionally published, mm-hmm. And it's a typical, someone gets obsessed with a celebrity slash group and then becomes too much. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that you probably noticed is the method that has only been used in fanfiction until now, the use of YN.
Right.
So everyone who's listening to this probably already knows, but the use of YN, or your name, is a writing tool used to place the reader inside the story. Mm-hmm. And when I was first learning about this and listening and reading reviews, I truly could not figure out what I was feeling about this particular book. Personally, I don't really know if I'm going to read it or not. I'm still on the fence about it. Mm. It sounds interesting, and it's interesting that this author has gotten traditionally published while using the tool of YN. Mm-hmm. But my hesitation is due to the fact that the author does not seem to know much about fandom or fanfiction.
Okay.
So there's an interview with NPR. And she is asked if she has ever felt this obsession like the one that YN feels with K-pop. And she says that she does, and it's with literature, which I argue is very different from individuals who were in Super Hulock or were obsessed with One Direction or BTS.
Yes, but I also think I personally don't know a lot about literature, like classical literature. But I'm sure that there are literature snobs, I'm going to use the word snobs, that are like, oh, well, you like this author?
Sure.
Da, 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 and that says a lot about you and shit like that. But I generally would agree with you that the connotation of, like, being obsessed with literature puts you in a different category or box than being like, oh, I'm obsessed with the show Supernatural.
Yes.
Where this puts you in a cage.
Yes. So that's my thing, is just, like, no one has ever scrutinized. Or even the same thing of, like, even though they're literature people who are like, oh, well, you like Orville Redenbacher or whatever. Mm. But they all, no matter who they are, turn their nose at fan fiction. And when she is asked about fan fiction, Esther Lee says, "I find fan fiction especially a really interesting and really rich mode of expression that, of course, a lot of people look down on because it lacks a certain literary polish. But I respect that about fan fiction. I respect that fan fiction is so much the product of a compulsion, of a yearning, that it almost foregoes all of these pretensions of polish, of quality, of sophistication. In that sense, for me, there is something that's revealed at the heart of fanfiction that I think is essential to all great literature, which is the desire to put yourself in the same space as the transcendental, to almost touch the hem of it without really quite grasping it. Which I think for the most part, when I read that, I was like, okay, it is the single sentence of it foregoes polished quality and sophistication.
Yeah, that was the... Just the word quality, yes. Especially, is the one that I wanted to hit on. Because yes. A majority of that statement I would agree with. The thing is, like, I cannot look away from the word quality in that sentence. Yeah. Because I also partially agree with it. Mm-hmm. Where it is... Fan fiction is this thing that is meant to be enjoyed mm-hmm. by anyone that comes across mm-hmm. it. It is a thing that anyone can participate in. So, yes, in some aspects... Mm-hmm. Quality is not the top priority.
Sure.
That is, I think that's a fair statement.
That being said,
there are plenty, mm-hmm. and we have read many.
And we've talked to many.
We've talked to many people about it where they do think highly about the quality of their works. In fact, mm-hmm. it's something that we even last week talked about in our episode where it was like, we are hesitant to publish things because we don't know if it's of mm-hmm. a certain quality. So to make that generalization,
yes.
I can be understanding of it mm-hmm. because the perception of fan fiction is still 12 to 16 year old girls writing something and putting it on the internet. And I'm not going to lie. I had that perception for a long time as mm-hmm. well, because I was a 14, 15 year old girl publishing fan fiction on the internet. Right. And that's how I got a pretty decent following. Since starting the show, I have never been proven more wrong about one singular thing in my entire life than on this show. And I couldn't be happier to be mm-hmm. proven wrong about something. Every single guest that we've had on this show, we have a little pre-recording like talk, and we chit-chat a little bit, kind of get to know them. A majority of them are far older than us.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that to be like, to call them out and be like, you're old.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
No.
That proves that you have really thought about and cared about. And even if you just listen to them talk about it, mm-hmm. it's so interesting that a majority of our guests too are like, oh my God, you guys are so young.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought I was old for the fandom spaces, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm pretty middle of the line. I like, you know, I'm on the younger side, quote unquote, being 21, but it's still just like, there's a large population of fan fiction creators
that do care about that polish and that quality.
Right, they do. And that's why they have betas.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that we have talked to have multiple betas, in fact. So they do care about quality.
And that was the one when I first... So I found out about it today, the day we're recording. I found out about this book because it was released like end of last week or something.
Okay.
And so when I first came across like the first review for it, which this was an NPR interview that she did, and I listened to it, I was like, well, that's really an interesting concept that you've taken... YN and you've put her traditionally, like, okay. And it was when I read that I was like, that I started becoming hesitant, because in the book she does write fan fiction, like this character YN, this unnamed narrator, writes fan fiction, and I would be afraid reading it that like it's just like, well, yeah, it's gonna be shit writing, but like it's all because of yearning, and it's all because of obsession and compulsive, but it's like it's gonna be shit, and that's what I'm afraid is going to be put forth in the book. So I don't know how to fully fear about it, because I also don't want to sit here and scream like, you don't know what you're talking about, how dare you take from my culture, kind of thing.
Right, and I like. The thing is like, when you were like, oh, I'm hesitant to read this, I was like, I can understand. If I went to a Barnes & Noble mm-hmm. and I saw this book called YN and like, I opened it and it was like, in the fan fiction format of like, I'm supposed to insert my name here, mm-hmm. I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know, that my initial reaction would to be upset about it.
Right.
And if I was a more avid reader, mm-hmm. I think I would at least go to a Barnes & Noble and read the first couple chapters.
Okay.
And, like, see what it's about a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was, like, that was the one thing where I was like, well, that's, like, a really unfair generalization to say that all fan fiction, all fan fiction authors forego quality. Because I was like, I don't do that. We've talked to several people who refuse to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was also, like, listening to other interviews where they call it Y/N. And I was like, it's called YN. Mm. It's like calling Hunter, Hunter, Hunter x Hunter, where it's like you clearly don't, are not in the space.
Mm.
Which makes me, it's not that I don't want to be like, you're not allowed to write unless you know this, like, part of mm-hmm. this, whatever. But it makes me be like, you're not going to be as compassionate.
I understand where you're coming from. And the thing is like, being who we are and what we advocate for, it's wrong to...
I know.
Like I understand that that's why you're conflicted, because it is, like, it feels weird to be like, oh, I want to gatekeep.
I know.
This partially for, like, us, for our sake, because you didn't come from this. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is an exciting prospect to be like, a publishing company decided to run with this. That is so, like, it's not the first time fanfiction's been published, but it's the first time.
Right. But that was like another point that I had, that was like, for all the fanfiction that has been published, which is like the 50 Shades of Grey, the After,
right,
the Love Hypothesis and all, they go through so much scrutinization and put down because of, oh, it's just Reylo fanfiction. And it's like parading as something else, which, you know, as Esther says, because it foregoes polished quality and sophistication. So it's not as highly looked at because it's just published fanfiction. But then I read a bunch of reviews, and like this book from someone specifically outside of our space, which I don't want to gatekeep. Like, that's not what I want to do. But it's being praised by the New York Times and the NPR and Vulture. And it's just like, man, not even when we get traditionally published are we looked at as the same of someone who's outside talking about us.
Right.
And also, when I was really thinking about it, the YN concept, because you and I have talked about it. We talked about it in our first episode this year with Silent Wanderlust, where them using the tool of YN kind of foregoes all the conversation that this community has had in the past few years to make YN completely neutral, a blank canvas for anybody to be put into this specific. But the character given in this specific book is given a race and a gender, which means not everybody can be put in the place of this unnamed narrator, which, yes, is inherently good. We need stories of Korean Americans living in Germany, but I just don't think that the YN space is for that reason. I just don't think it was the correct tool to use at the end of the day, because of all of the conversations that we have had, like the conversation we had with Silent Wanderlust, where it's like, oh, we can't think about hair texture because it pushes out black people. We can't, you know, say, like, some people, like, they specifically, like, I'm using a female narrator. But then, you know, there are people who are like, well, I'm going to use they, so it's completely gender neutral. You don't have to be a woman to read this. You don't have to be a man. You don't have to be non-binary. Like, we're just going to use the most neutral terms.
Right.
But I think I don't have a problem with the author. I think when I, like, really, because I, like, sat and I thought about it, because I was really conflicted, where I was like, I don't want to gatekeep. Right, I'm not mad at the author. I think what I'm mad at is big media, like these NPR and like Vulture and like the New York Times. And if I have, like, one thing to say, it's like to these, you know, the media companies that I've said and all else, is that if you're not going to have a conversation about our community and our hobbies and our love for something without compassion and an open mind and a willingness to listen, and I don't really care to have it anymore. Maya and I haven't talked about it, but we had a really bad experience with NPR.
Yeah.
That we're really not going to go into, but we kind of had a bad experience with NPR. And I just don't have it in me anymore to be kind.
I'm going to bring up something that's a little off topic, but I swear to God it relates.
Okay.
Neil deGrasse Tyson had this interview with, it wasn't so much an interview as like a conversation between him and a flat earther. And this flat earther was like trying to make all these points about, blah, blah, blah. You're talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm sorry. But like, you know, this guy was trying to make all of his points and stuff like that. And Neil deGrasse Tyson was like, okay, what three things do I need to bring to you to prove that the world is not flat?
Yeah.
And in our situation, it's one of those things of what do we need to do?
Yeah.
We just have to stop trying to get their attention and ask them absolutely what do they need from us.
Yeah.
And if they aren't willing to either find a middle ground or admit that they just don't see us as at a certain level, then the conversation's over.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that you're at that point.
Yeah, because
I've like, relatively been at that point for a while.
It's disheartening reading all these reviews, and I have to read things like, even so, it's a fair generalization to say fanfiction isn't at the top of the literary hierarchy, which was NPR. And, quote, the internet is littered with bizarro fanfiction of boy band members impregnating one another and flippant replies to Stan Luna under alerts of tragic deaths, which come from Vulture. Like, it's disheartening to be that bizarro fanfiction and that it's not at the top of the literary. Like, you can make points. I get what you're trying to say, but at the same time, it also says to me that you don't know what you're really talking about.
Yeah.
We've known. We've learned. We see what these big media groups, they like to talk about the bad of what is happening in communities. We saw the spread of that, the spread of hate towards the trans community incessantly this past month, practically. But nothing about trans love, trans joy, trans community, and their support for each other. And similarly, I think we see that with the spread of these quote-unquote bizarro fanfiction authors and these crazed fangirls. Mm-hmm. But not the love and the support that fanfiction authors, fan artists, fandom content creators, and consumers have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are fans who are more obsessed and maybe don't have the best judgment in fandoms across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as these crazed fan storylines are fun, I either need to see a crazed football fan falling down a spiral after Tom Brady announces his retirement.
They've practically caught cities on fire.
Yes, but like, where? What stories are that? What stories are being told about that? But fangirls are crazy? Okay. Or I need to see a story about the community of fandom, because I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Show me that. So I don't know what to think about this book. I don't have a problem with the author.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat right now, where it's just like, I want to believe that this person had every right intention. Yes. And it is that it is just the media coverage of it that is souring my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear if an individual, specifically like a fan fiction author or like a fandom creator who's deep into fandom, read this and would love to talk about it, because like, right. I would love to know what you thought about it. Like, I don't know, I just think like YN was not the tool of it, because when I really thought about it, I was just like, man, we've had a lot of conversation of trying to make YN as inclusive as possible, because YN is for everyone, and if you give them a race and a gender, they're no longer for everyone,
right? And it's something that the community has gone back and forth for a very long time. So
yeah, so it's like, we've had that conversation, but you not being in the community are not aware of the conversation that we've all been having.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was debating even bringing it up, because I was like, is this just a conversation I have with Maya, or is this something that I bring up? But I think I do want to bring it up, because I think at the end of the day, it is just a, like, I don't want big media talking about it anymore.
I think that's fair, because like,
yeah.
We all know what they're going to say.
Because it kind of felt that way reading all those reviews, being like, oh man, you know those crazy-ass bizarro fanfiction writers. Look what they do. They travel all the way across the world to try to find a K-pop star. And you're just like, I get that, like, sometimes we do crazy shit, but like,
right. It's very selective.
Yeah.
In what they decide
to
show. You know, we can just keep doing what we're doing, which is trying to spread a positive message about fanfiction. And like, we've grown our audience.
Yeah.
I would hope is in the same in the same boat. And I'm pretty sure that they are.
Yeah.
But
I hope so too.
Like, there's not much we can do about it personally, and not much we can do about it now. Mm-hmm. But it's important to have the conversations of the future and what we can do next time, or how to like deal with it the next time that it happens, and that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
we've already made so much progress since 2016, since the beginning of COVID.
For sure.
Even now, like, just kind of this happening in general is like very big. No one would have ever thought 10 years ago that, you know, a book using YN would have been published.
Right.
So you have to take it in.
Yeah.
Just take the good and try not to let the bad sour it too much.
Yeah. So. All right. I'm moving on.
Yippee.
So today I'm doing a drama episode, so I'm trying to get more hyped. It is more shit that fanfiction authors have gone through. So sorry, guys. But Maya, before I start, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever wondered why fanfiction authors have had to write a disclaimer that the people, stories, settings that they are writing was not theirs, to like not they did not own them for a very long time.
See, that used to be a very popular thing to do back when I was doing all of my asks and stuff like that back in 2013, around that era. I don't know the exact reason, so I am slightly curious, but I don't think that happens as much anymore to any recent fan fiction. Anyways, in the days of Tumblr, back when I used to like write pretty consistently, a lot of people at the ends, and especially
Or the beginnings,
and then on Wattpad as well, I remember seeing this a lot, they would all have like this copy-pasted message being like, I do not own the characters or the universe that this works in, da-da-da-da-da. I'm sure that there's a legal case that we're going to talk about, and maybe Anne Rice.
Ding, 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 ding.
How did I know?
Ding, 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 ding.
Crazy.
Okay, but I'm gonna get into my intro first.
Okay.
So fan fiction is not new by any means. You can go back and listen to my fan fiction history episode. Mm-hmm. It's in season one. I just get into just a brief overview of the history of fan fiction, modern day fan fiction. But it used to be way more risky to write fan fiction for a time. In certain fandoms, I'll say, not every fandom, but in certain fandoms, writing fan fiction could get you a letter from a lawyer, basically.
Very cool, very awesome, very slay.
So as we know, fan fiction exists in a very sketchy legal space. Mm-hmm. While derivative and transformative works are protected under the fair use law, many authors, like the authors of the original stories, do not believe fan fiction falls into that category. Authors that still dislike or disallow fanfiction cite an experience that author Marion Zimmer Bradley had in 1992.
Okay.
So initially, Bradley not only liked, but she encouraged fanfiction. And as the story goes, she realized that an upcoming novel of hers would touch on themes that were in a fanfiction that she had read. And when she reached out to the author to attempt to negotiate a deal to avoid a lawsuit, not all parties could agree on how much of Bradley's novel had been written or exactly what the terms of the agreement were with the fanfiction author, and Bradley said that she decided to scrap the novel rather than risk a lawsuit.
Okay.
Which is a big reason why a lot of authors who even still like fanfiction, they're like, I'm never going to read fanfiction, because they're afraid of that. They're afraid of, like, stealing someone's idea. But if they can just say, like, I've never read fan fiction, like, if something just happens to come up that were coincidentally the same, it's just a coincidence.
Okay.
Because they've never read fan fiction.
Right.
So this story, this particular story, though, looms larger in the memories of many creatives, especially creatives around the 90s, who regularly cite it as an example of what can happen if you don't protect your copyright. Today, we have the Organization of Transformative Works and Archive of Our Own, who work tirelessly to protect fanfiction and fanfiction authors. Dr. Betsy Rosenblatt is the legal chair of OTW, which is a volunteer position, by the way.
Nice.
She works with a team of lawyers and law professionals all around the world who advocate for fans and fan-friendly laws. She also helps educate and answer fans' questions about their rights and the law. Mm-hmm. So if anything comes up, AO3 has never had to use their lawyers before. That doesn't mean they never will have to.
Right.
That's why they have them. Mm-hmm. But those are the people that you can turn to if something like your fan fiction is being plagiarized. Do I have my own? Yes, you do have your own copyright for your own fan fiction. You can ask them to take that down. These are the people that you go to in AO3 to have your legal questions answered.
Right.
Or if you need legal help. But authors didn't always have OTW. As we all know, OTW really came around late aughts, early 2010s. They're fairly recent in the fanfiction space.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since fanfiction, they have been around since fanfiction.net, when they were Angel Fire pages and just random websites.
Right.
But there are a ton of examples of creatives sending lawyers to fanfiction authors. And two of these are like pretty like well-known media people. Mm-hmm. So Fox sent cease and desist letters to people who made X-Files fan sites and had a fanfic mailing list in 1996.
Right.
So they sent all these people cease and desist letters. J.K. Rowling had her lawyer send a cease and desist letter to a website that hosted sexually explicit Harry Potter fanfiction in 2003. First of all, fuck J.K. Rowling for several reasons.
Real.
Also, she's had a weird relationship where she's like, no, I like Harry Potter fanfiction. Unless they fuck, then they're not allowed to ever be sexually explicit. And then she was like, actually, fuck fanfiction. And then she's like, no, but I love fan. And you're just like, shut up.
Stop talking.
Stop talking. And then author Mercedes Lackey required fanfiction authors to both sign a release and also forbid them from posting their work anywhere online.
Okay.
But the worst of them all, as Maya has said,
Anne Rice.
Is Anne Rice. So Anne Rice, if you don't know who she is, was...
Bless your soul.
Honestly, if you don't know who she is...
Keep it that way.
Stop listening to this. If you, honestly, if you like Anne Rice, if like Anne Rice is a good memory for you, stop listening to this episode. My mom is a very big fan of Anne Rice. She loved her, you know, vampire gothic novels when they were coming out. Mm. And I was like, I can't break your little heart. I'm not going to tell you. If you like her, if you have no idea, if you're living in this beautiful bliss of not knowing, stop listening to this episode.
It's okay. It's okay. You can stop.
Yeah. You don't need to know everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you would like to know who Anne Rice is, Anne Rice was an American author of gothic fiction, erotic literature, and Christian literature.
Okay.
She was best known for her series of novels, The Vampire Chronicles, the most famous of those being the very first book, Interview with the Vampire, that came out in 1976.
Mm-hmm. And then it got a movie.
And then it got a movie, and now it's a TV show on HBO. Right? HBO? No. AMC?
What are you talking about?
They have a TV show. They have TV show. Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
They have a new TV show out right now.
I know. They're also doing the movie.
They're also doing the Mayflower Witches, which is also another one of her series of books. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen the movie with Tom Cruise.
I mean, yeah, that's that.
And it was like weird to see Tom Cruise as a vampire. Yes. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
That was like the last time he ever did anything like avant-garde, and then he was like, only action movies from here on out.
Scientology told me to do action movies only
because they make the most amount of money.
Let's go.
But yeah, so that was a very famous, popular, infamous movie at this point. If you haven't seen the Interview with the Vampire with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, because right. It was also the first book that got a movie deal for her, so it was for a lot for her. And it had been a century between Rice and Bram Stoker, who's one of...
Bram Stoker. I love him.
It had been a century that we didn't really have vampires in our literature. And Anne Rice chose to draw vampire literature closer to the sexy and enigmatic image that we see today of vampires. Less the sparkly of the Stephanie Meyer, but that's an enigma in and of itself. The popularity of the Vampire Chronicles exploded after the 1994 film, which Maya mentioned. So Rice's novels were beloved by many, specifically the LGBTQ+ community, some of whom had perceived her vampire characters as allegorical symbols of isolation and social alienation. Also, you literally couldn't hide the homoerotic overtones in the series.
Yup.
And do you know what the gays love more than homoerotic vampires? Fan fiction of homoerotic vampires.
Yeah, I was going to say porn.
Porn!
That's what it is.
And fanfiction authors for the Vampire Chronicles are haunted by a single short paragraph. I do not own Interview with the Vampire or any related characters. The Vampire Chronicles series is created by Anne Rice and owned by Warner Brothers. This fanfiction is intended for entertainment only. I am not making any profit from this story. All rights of the original Interview with the Vampire story belong to Warner Brothers. So that's what you kind of said in the beginning of this.
Yep.
Copy-paste. It started as this, and then it was copy-pasted for a lot of different fandoms, where it was like, I do not own Percy Jackson. I do not own Supernatural. I do not own Hetalia. I do not own any of these. Mm-hmm. And this is just for entertainment. I'm not making any money. Because those were the very clear lines that you had to draw. Like, everyone...
Right.
Had to
and
do that.
Everyone did it.
Everyone.
For everything.
Yes. Because it just got... I think it was like everyone thought they were at risk. And then that very brand new area, like sliver of new fanfiction authors, they were like, you have to do this. And they're like, okay.
Oh, you sure? Yeah, all right, man. Course. Don't worry about it.
Of course I'm going to do this.
Yeah. I'm fine. I got it.
I'm not getting a fucking cease and desist letter. What are you fucking... Yeah. And that's because... If you were an Anne Rice fan in the early 2000s, you knew that Anne disliked fanfiction extremely. She made her personal dislike of fanfiction clear in an online chat on CompuServe. CompuServe, something like that.
Sure.
On August 3rd, 1995, she got a question that asked, Anne, do you have any interest, in parentheses, or have you ever... read anything written by your fans involving your characters? And she said, no, I haven't. I'm very possessive of my characters. I think it would hurt me terribly to read anything with some of my characters. I hope you'll be inspired to write your own stories with your own characters.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Is it kind of a bitch thing to say?
A little.
A little. But I can understand. Mm-hmm. Like, I have OCs.
Yes.
As we kind of talked about last week.
Yeah.
I RP.
Mm-hmm.
So I have OCs. You've made OCs in the past. And there are particular OCs mm-hmm. that I'm very, like, possessive of.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I know exactly what they would do in almost every scenario.
Yeah.
But there are other OCs where it's just like, oh, I'm a little more lenient about mm-hmm. things. And since I'm in an interactive space, mm-hmm. collaborating with other people, sometimes these people try and assume what my characters would do
yes.
for me. Sometimes they get it right. Sometimes it's a character that I really don't care about, so I let things slide.
Right.
And then sometimes they get it abysmally wrong. And, like, I yeah. have to be an adult about it.
Yes.
Right? Like, I'm not going to be like, well, fuck you. That's not what they do. It's just, like, a kind, like, hey.
Yeah.
If you wanted to know, you could have just yes. asked me. But, like, here's the correct response.
Yes.
And, like, I leave it at that. And then the next time that it happens, they message me.
Yeah.
She easily, like, she could have worded it differently and been like, no.
Sure.
Like, I can understand yeah. a little of both. But also, it's like,
mm-hmm.
you're published. You're making money off yeah. of this. How angry there's, could you get?
Right. There's... I'm going to get into why, like, there's specific reasons for Anne Rice, but I do think okay. that there are authors who, you know, they believe they're like, I published something, they are not mine. Those characters are no longer mine. Those stories are no longer mine. They're not mine to interpret. They mm-hmm. are for you okay. at that point. There are authors who believe that. Neil Gaiman right. is one of them. He's just like, it's for you. There you go.
Have fun.
Have fun. But then, yeah, there are people who are more protective.
Right.
of their characters. Mm-hmm. And there are many speculations of why Anne Rice particularly doesn't feel comfortable with writing of her characters. And one that floated around more than others was that Claudia was based off of her daughter Michelle, who died in 1972, shortly before she would have turned 6, of acute granulomatic leukemia.
Okay.
And her most famous character, Lestat himself, was written with some qualities of her husband Stan, who also passed away in 2002, which will be important later. So that's why some people believe that she didn't like her characters being touched, because they were reminiscent of her deceased
and again,
daughter and husband.
That is, like, understandable.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
Me, personally.
Also, I think when it was this asked, in 1995 versus 2023, the idea of fandom and fan fiction and mm-hmm. how that interacts with the original creator themselves mm-hmm. are very different. Now we kind of know, like, do not ask the actors anything. Do not ask the authors anything. Do mm-hmm. not tell them about anything. If they wanted to find it, they would find it. Do not send them anything. Do not. This is for us.
Correct.
So I feel like now, of course, there are some people who still ask, but I feel like now it's mostly people are not going to be like, how do you feel about your characters being written in fan fiction? Like, that's mm-hmm. just like, that's just a thing that's like, this is for us. And like, you don't have to acknowledge it. It's okay. If you acknowledge it, that's super cool, but you don't have to.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So despite this slight discomfort, to an author does not stop fanfiction authors.
Yes, correct.
I don't think anything stops fanfiction authors.
Not really.
And at the time, one of these Vampire Chronicles Usernet groups was alt.books.anne-rice. It was kind of big for the time period, with 100 or so members.
Whoa.
I know, that sounds crazy to be like, it was huge, 100 or so members.
That's still like...
Yeah, for a Usernet page?
Yeah.
So in their FAQ, it read, so what's alt.books.anne/write all about? A bar, where the women are women and men are occasionally women, in parentheses, don't ask, and the chickens are frightened. A bar is an internet news group that was created for Anne Rice fans to have a place to get together with other fans and let the mayhem loose. On a bar, you'll find threads about the books, the movies, stories, characters, and more non-sequiturs than you can shake a stick at. So it was basically just a place for you to talk about the books, the movies, write fan fiction, make fan art. Like, it was just, you know, like everywhere else. It was just a little home for these people. And Rice's publishers knew about and collaborated with a bar in its early days, sending users review copies of her books and asking moderators to share news updates. One author said there was an element of the publishers going, we don't know what the F this is, but both sides felt it out. It was a simpatico relationship. there was a mutual understanding, it was fine. And that's really important to know, that the publishers knew about this. It was not hidden for them. And not only was it not hidden from them, they had a relationship where they felt each other out. And then they used this group to review copies and ask for news updates. It's very important that people know that fact.
Right.
So up until 2000, it had a spec, which is a fun term that I learned. Before fan fiction was called fan fiction, it was called speculative fiction, for short, specs.
Okay.
Fun new term that I learned while researching this.
Interesting.
So it had a spec archive at, I'm going to give you the whole, eskimo.com/squiggle-ash or ftp.eskimo.com/u/a/ash. Heather Melosh was the keeper, and Adonia updated the databases. In the archive, you can find specs, poems, RPGs, Mayfair family trees, FAQs. The very first spec, so the very first fan fiction on the archive, was Memnock the Spec. This has nothing to do with the story. I thought this was just very fun information.
Okay.
It was called Memnock the Spec. The full title was Memnock the Devil, in parentheses, a speculative story, by Mick C. and Susie K. It started in 1995. Older than both of us.
Correct.
The story has three parts, but to the distress of many fans, the story remained unfinished and is now lost forever. However, Memnock the Spec inspired an active fandom, with many other authors creating associated works set in the MTS universe. This spec also illustrates the fanish norms of early fanfiction chronicles spec writers. In an early post of the story, possibly at the Black Rose Archive, the full names and email addresses of both authors were included, and the author's note contained was very informal disclaimer. It simply stated, this is a work of speculative fiction, and it is not in any way related to the Anne Rice novel Memnock the Devil, due to be released later this year. It is purely hypothetical and not intended for publication or release outside of the alt.books-and/write newsgroup. So one incredibly popular author at the time of this Usenet group was titled The Brat Queen. She wrote The Chosen God, which won Best Lestat 1998 to 1999, Best Primary Character 2000, and won second place for Best Ongoing 2000. Since she won a bunch of awards on this Usenet group. She also won Best Slice of Life and Best Short Fic in 2000, Best Short Fic 2000, Best Challenge 1998 to 1999, Best Romance 1998 to 1999, Best Lewis / Lestat 1997 to 1998, and several other first and second places. So suffice to say, she was very, very, very popular on this. She is also now on AO3 under The Brat Queen. If you wanted to check her out, it is just all one word, lowercase, The Brat Queen. Her user ID is 427, meaning that she was the 427th person to make an account on AO3.
That's fucking weird.
Now people are like,
I don't even know what my user ID is.
Mine is like in the 100,000 for sure.
Oh, mine probably is. Yeah, I'm gonna check real quick. Also, I love that, sorry.
Your user ID is
8,963,524. What? And I got that a couple years ago. Whoa. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I joined in November of 2020.
I need to know now.
Granted, I was a late bloomer. I did not hop on this for sure. Until way later. The thing is like, I had read on AO3 before I got an account.
Yeah.
The only reason I got an account was because you were like, you should put your stuff on there.
My user ID, I've been on since 2019.
Okay.
So I was like, what, a year before you?
Mm-hmm.
Mine is 5,536,480. Means between you and me, 3 million people joined AO3.
Holy shit. My God.
So yeah, if you want, I was like researching her because like in the I was reading like a Reddit for like the basic information and then trying to find more information. And so I tried to look up the Brat Queen to find as much information as I could, and her AO3 just popped up. Like, you can still find her website that had like the original stuff on it, which I would talk about. It's called The Brat Queen's Castle, or WTFTBQ.com. So you can still look up this website to look at all of her old stuff, but then she has a new AO3. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. And then I saw the user ID and I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Oh, fuck. Oh my God. Yeah, she's still publishing shit.
Yeah, she is.
Holy fuck.
She's going.
Good for her.
Yeah. So she started her own website that I mentioned called The Brat Queen's Castle, or WTFTBQ, if you would like to, .com, if you would like to check them out, where she wanted to branch out of the Vampire Chronicles fandom and wrote fan fiction for Buffy, Fight Club, Batman, Star Wars, and Harry Potter. But she has the Vampire Chronicles tab labeled as the fandom that I have never, ever written fic for. You know, that one.
Interesting.
She even has a disclaimer in this particular section of her fanfiction that reads, "Disclaimer! The following stories are all non-profit, amateur efforts not intended to infringe on the rights of Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, David Geffen, Warner Brothers, Geffen Pictures, Nope, Random House, the City of New Orleans, the U.S. Constitution, any copyright holders that I might have not thought of, or even a certain author who shall remain nameless, but who has a set of initials which are coincidentally just one letter off from spelling BS. So suffice to say, Anne Rice put her through some shit.
Yeah.
As the internet does as the internet does, the fans began to gather in these other parts of the web, different Angel Fire pages and live journal forums. But with the growth, Anne Rice's stance on fanfiction grew more aggressive. On April 7th, 2000, Anne Rice posted to her website a message banning all fanfic. And that message reads, "I do not allow fanfiction. The characters are copyrighted. It upsets me terribly to even think about fanfiction with my characters. I advise my readers to write your original stories with your own characters. It is absolutely essential that you respect my wishes."
Mm-hmm.
Which I never really understood, where it's like, you can just not read it. I don't, like, you don't have to seek it out. Like, unless people are sending you the fanfics, like, you were actively seeking out to see whether people are still writing the Vampire Chronicles fanfiction. But it's also like, you have to learn that some people just don't want to write their original stuff. Some people don't want to do that.
Yeah. And, like, again, I think the hardest part of people wanting to write has become this, like, I have to build a world and, like, put them in a place. And at least
this
for
world's
me,
already built for me.
Right, exactly. And personally, that's, like, the hardest thing for me. It's, like, creating a world.
Yes.
When someone has given me that, and then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
That's why I'm very receptive to fanfiction and RPing, where it's just like, these things have already been made up for me.
Yes.
And now this is a place, this is an environment where I can thrive. I'm a very specific type of plant.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is what I need.
La-di-da. So after this statement to her website, Anne Rice instructed her attorneys to send cease and desist letters to the best known fanfiction writers, threatening to drag them to court if they didn't purge their Vampire Chronicles fanfic. And since many fanfiction writers are not rich, those who received the letters just deleted their stories. And this day has gone down in history as the Spec Writer Massacre, also known as the Day of the Lawyers. Which is like, yeah, Anne Rice is a very rich woman. She had these movie deals and book publishings, and fanfiction authors are not rich. They're normal people.
I mean, you have every high school in the fucking country forced to read some of your fucking books.
Yeah.
So
I think, like, you, it's definitely that power dynamic of, like, what do you expect me to do? They're like, when you come up against something like when Fox sends you, or when J.K. Rowling sends you, or the Warner Brothers and Anne Rice, what are you supposed to do? I don't have a thousands and thousands of dollars to get a lawyer and fight. And it's just like, I might not win, because guess what? It is not my story at the end of the day. And we didn't have OTW to be like, you have rights.
Right.
Like, it was like, maybe I don't have rights. I'll just delete it, I guess. And so it was just the Day of the Lawyers, the Spec Writer Massacre, that just all of this shit got deleted. By April 9th, there was a discussion taking place on ABAR around the existing copyright laws and whether fanfiction was legal or not. So this is when people were still just being like, do we have rights? I don't know.
Hi, I'm Saul Goodman. Sorry.
There was speculation that fan sites would likely close as a result of this statement, or that writers may be forced to go underground. In these forum pages, there were people who were skeptical that Anne Rice would get lawyers involved, but one person was already aware of someone who had received a call from Anne's lawyers. So they were like, this is real. People are receiving calls. I know someone who has already.
Mm.
In fact, it had been reported that four authors on ABAR received cease and desist letters in 2000, among them the Brat Queen.
Mm.
The group's moderators responded by burying their archive beneath another webpage. This is evidenced by changes made to the webpage of the well-known VC Spec Archive. Quote, "This page is no longer in the public forum. Note, there is nothing here. No specs, no stories, no nothing. Now maybe, hypothetically, if you had the password and the handshake, you could get into the private forum where private citizens could share private words with each other without being told by authors with too much money to waste that their First Amendment is being taken away and freedom of speech no longer exists, but that's just a hypothetical. Nice to know certain authors in Louisiana think so highly of their fans that they reward them by taking the money provided by the books and merchandise provided of said fans and hire lawyers to harass those fans. Makes nice logical sense. No?
I'm gonna airstrike Louisiana.
But they're right. They're like, authors with too much money being told that their First Amendment rights are taken away. There's nothing here. Absolutely nothing. Not... Absolutely nothing here. Mm-hmm. Do not worry about it. Mm-hmm. But for some fans, like the Brat Queen, the bitter taste in their mouths lingered. She said it destroyed the fandom. We all hated her. We were like, we were only doing this because we loved your work. And that specifically for the Brat Queen, who I will talk more about later too. Going back to what I said before, where it's like, the publishers knew about this.
Mm-hmm.
They knew... And they worked with them, and they sent them, you know, review copies.
Right.
So it was like, it wasn't, it was like your best friend turning around and stabbing you in the back.
Kind of. Kind of, just a little bit.
It wasn't just like it. You turn around and you're like, where did you come from? Oh my god, I don't know.
They Caesared you.
They Caesared you, 100%.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, I thought we had something going here.
What? I thought we were something special.
What happened? I don't
understand.
I don't understand. So this is where fanfiction.net gets involved.
Okay.
So Rice was also one of the 11 individuals who personally expressed to fanfiction.net that they did not want any fanfiction based on their work archived on the site. The category for works based on Anne Rice's novels were removed wholesale from fanfiction.net. The original email from Christine Cuddy, Anne's lawyer, from May 18th, 2001, stated, "We represent Anne Rice, the author of the above series of novels and the creator of all characters contained therein, including without limitation, Lestat, Louis, Claudia, Maurice, Armand, Pandora, Mel, Maharet, and Cayman, collectively known as the property, and the owner of all copyright thereto. As the copyright owner, Miss Rice has the exclusive right to use such characters in literary material. It has come to our attention that your website, fanfiction.net, makes available over the internet numerous stories and other literary material which contained the above-listed characters and other material from the property. Even when done on a non-profit and or amateur basis, such use of such characters and material without Miss Rice's permission constitutes copyright infringement. While Miss Wright greatly appreciates the interest of her fans in her characters and materials, it is her and our responsibility to make sure that her rights are not infringed upon.
Mm-hmm.
Accordingly, we must insist that fanfiction.net immediately refrain from making available over the internet or otherwise any work based on any element of the property, including without limitation, the above listed characters. It is essential that you confirm immediately by email that fanfiction.net has complied with the foregoing. If we do not receive the foregoing reassurance from you by the close of business on Monday, May 21st, 2021, we will have no choice but to advise fanfiction.net's internet servers of this matter and to ask such server to take appropriate action. The foregoing is stated without prejudice to the rights and remedies of Miss Anne Rice and her publishers, Alfred A. Nope, Inc., all of which are hereby expressed reserves." So that was the letter sent to fanfiction.net. And on fanfiction.net, you can still go and see, like, these are the authors that have sent us letters. And there's 11 of them, one including Anne Rice. And as you know, if you listen to the history, the rise and fall of fanfiction.net episode that I did, at this time, fanfiction.net had no fucking money. They didn't have enough money to run a server, let alone get lawyers and try to fight this in any way, shape, or form. So, of course, they complied.
They had to.
They had to. On September 25th, 2002, Xing Li, creator of fanfiction.net, posted the following. "The fanfiction.net content guidelines have been updated to state that the site will not accept entries based on the work of Anne Rice and Anne McCaffrey. This policy is not new, but had been clearly displayed on the site prior to the amendment. And for years, authors would use that disclaimer in front of all of Anne Rice's fanfiction, which mirrored the disclaimer successfully used by other fandoms. While this disclaimer worked well in those fandoms, Anne Rice still considered it unacceptable, even with the disclaimer."
Dude.
Yeah.
It's just so fucking stupid. Like, that's the thing, though, is, like, with some people, you literally just can't change their mind. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot change their opinion on things, no matter how... I don't know if I've ever said this on the show, but, like, part... For me, a big part of growing up and realizing who is an adult in your life mm-hmm. is if someone is able to admit that they are wrong.
Yes.
Or that they were acting on emotions rather than actual feelings and yada, 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 yada. So...
Yes.
This is one of those situations where it's like, oh, you're stuck in your ways. Yeah. And you're being a little bit like, I understand that this might be people based off of people that are near and dear to your heart. Mm-hmm. But shouldn't it also be flattering that hundreds of people want to take these characters and run with them?
Yeah. And I think it's the one thing of like plenty of people even now say that they don't enjoy fan fiction. Like, the woman who... Diana Gabaldon, the woman who writes Outlander, she doesn't like fan fiction. But, like, Anne Rice took it to an extreme where she's, like, getting her lawyers to send letters and calling. And it's just like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey. There are just some people having fun on the internet.
There's just some... And they're, like, college kids.
And they also aren't saying anything bad about you, but now they're going to.
Yeah. Like... And, like, I don't remember if I put them in my notes exactly, but Anne Rice was also a person who I was reading about, like, did not like any negative reviews of her work and, like, lashed out on that kind of thing. So, if her work wasn't taken at the most positive, basically if people didn't interact with her work in the exact way she wanted it, positively, within her own boundaries, she was going to react poorly to it.
That is so crazy to me. Because as a quote-unquote creative in your field, you should learn how to deal with creative criticism. Mm-hmm. And not even just creative criticism. Criticism in general. Mm-hmm. You are publishing your work to the general public. Mm-hmm. Not everyone who reads your shit paid for it. There are some people that go to libraries to read your stuff. Right. There are some people that are in school that are forced to read your stuff.
Yeah.
They all come from different walks of life. Yeah. They're not going to,
they're not all going to like it.
No.
And that's okay.
Yes, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah. So on these forum pages, one fan wrote, "Know what you're getting into. The threat of personal harassment is very real. Anne Rice does not want you writing fan fiction, and she has the money to make you stop. Do you really want to try this?" And that, "do you really want to try this," resonated. Like, it was one of those things where we talk about where it's, like, you say, like, a specific word or a specific phrase in a fandom, and they're, like, that's, like, the, "do you really want to try this?" And they're, like, they're, like, holy shit. Like, that's a trauma flashback for them.
Right.
So, and then still, I want it still. On May 20th, 2021, fanfiction.net announced that the Anne Rice Vampire Chronicles category has been removed at Anne Rice's request in 2021. So writers were warned by one another to not put any stories on a webpage, to not share the stories with others in email, such as on a private mailing list, not to attach real names with the stories, to use a pen name instead, to create an anonymous burner email account, and to not include your actual name and address on anything. So everyone in that fandom lived in what I would say is rightly fear.
Yeah. A little bit. It's like the angel of death.
Yeah.
Kind of. Mark your door. Kind of. It's like, holy fuck.
They were living in fear of being sued for something as small as a 500-word one-shot. Individual fans, specifically various high-profile members, were receiving emails from one of Anne Rice's lawyers, along with a cease and desist letter, ordering them to stop writing stories about Lestat, Louis, and Rice's other characters and posting them online. One fan wrote, "The attacks consist of, amongst other things, emailed threats regarding not only the writing of fanfiction, but any writing that any fanfic author attempted to engage in, regardless of who owned the copyright, attacks on private businesses that the fanfiction authors owned, and weeks of harassing personal letters sent to fanfiction authors' email addresses and guest books." So that was like a real thing of people's personal lives were being affected.
Mm.
Their businesses were being sent letters.
Mm-hmm.
They were being doxxed. It went off of online. It went off of the internet, basically. Personal information about fanfiction authors were dug up by Anne Rice employees and used as part of the harassment. And suffice to say, Anne Rice made her displeasure very clear. Certain authors were even doxxed, cyberstalked, and harassed, the Brat Queen included, even after they removed the fanfic from their sites. Not having the money or legal resources to defend themselves against this, hiding was the only option left. Mm-hmm. Some fanfiction writers quit entirely. Others went to great lengths to share their work. In the days of email chains, some writers sent chapters to private email lists. Some used free website creators such as Angel Fires and GeoCities to post fanfiction online, but were careful not to link these pages or attach any identifying information to them. Mm-hmm. I lost my first fandom to Anne Rice, said Reddit user KC Anathema. The site owners went underground, and then the fandom just seemed to dissolve. I will always maintain that it was partially because of many of those fanworks were superior to her declining talent. Which is, like I said, she had a problem with negative reviews. Which, towards the end of the Vampire Chronicles, she got a lot of.
I wonder why.
So the Brat Queen, getting into the Brat Queen, yep, remembers receiving this letter in 2000 in her bedroom in Colorado. She remembers thinking, what the hell is going on? As we know of the Brat Queen, she was very active in the community and wrote a lot of specs. And since she was very active in the community and knew that Rice's publishers knew about them, the cease and desist letter, quote, felt a bit like your next door neighbor sending you a letter from their lawyer instead of knocking on your door to ask you to turn your music down. She says, many of us who got the cease and desists also worked hand in hand with Anne, her publisher, and her family business to promote her books and businesses and business dealings purely for the love of fandom. I personally left a part-time job at a web company when they asked me to do what amounted to allowing them to profit off of Vampire Chronicles fanfic. When I told them that legally and ethically I could do no such thing, they said I could do it or they'd find someone else. I said, see ya. They never found someone else.
Yikes!
The most perfect example of this and how Anne's greed ruined so much was the Talismaniac Tour Company, which was created by fans, worked with Anne and her official biographer to come up with walking tours of New Orleans based on things from Anne's life and books. Fully had Anne's blessing, then, once it proved successful, Anne gave them a cease and desist and created her own tours at a ridiculously jacked-up prices. Karma being what it is, nobody wanted to pay for that bullshit, and Anne's tours ultimately failed. But since she used her lawyers to scare the fan business out of running, this became another example of why Anne is the reason the fandom can't have nice things. I would also like to make it perfectly clear that no one ever made it into court. No one was sued. Only cease and desist letters were made. Mm-hmm. So no one actually made it to court. I want to make that very clear. Maya, you made the brilliant point of her still making a statement in 2021 that even as far back as April 2012... Anne Rice was quoted in an interview saying, I don't ever want to read about my characters in someone else's writing. It's too upsetting for me because they are mine and from my mind. I never read fan fiction. Other writers feel differently about it and are happy and encouraging of it. I don't make judgment. I prefer to ignore it. But if 50 Shades of Grey grew out of that, well, there are no rules. Books can come out in any variety of way.
That feels so like I was told to say this by someone, mm-hmm, because the climate has changed.
Right.
Like, after years of harassing, mm-hmm, people, I have to say this thing, yeah, because now it's semi-socially acceptable.
Right. Mine, I still keep going back to, like, you know, it has never been confirmed. Like, we know that Claudia is based off of her daughter, Michelle. Mm. But it's like, why is this so upsetting to you? Why is this upsetting? Like, it's not just like, oh, I hate it. She said it's upsetting.
I mean, like, I can't say that I understand, mm-hmm, but I can, what's the right, sympathize?
Yeah.
I can sympathize a little. I've never had kids. Mm-hmm. I've never, like, I'm not, you know.
Yeah,
But I do have younger siblings. And that's how I'm going to equate this. But, like, if my little sister died at a young age, and you know, when kids are like little, it's like, oh, you feel like you know them pretty well.
Yeah.
Most kids are pretty talkative, wear their hearts on their sleeves. So I wonder if it's a thing where she's just like, oh, I knew my daughter, none of you do. So how are you writing like you know her?
Sure.
That's how I'm taking it, mm-hmm, because, like, in that respect, I can understand why you're upset, mm-hmm, but again, people are going to continue to do this, yeah, thing, so are you going to continue to let it upset you? Or, like, obviously she became active in the situation where she was, yeah, like, oh, I want them to stop. I'm going to send them cease and desist, yeah, letters. I'm going to get a legal team involved, yeah, and, like, this and this and this and this. But, I don't know. It's also this thing of, like, it's the internet. It's a free space.
Yeah.
are you going to continue to be this upset about it?
Right.
And work, like, go through with this plan that has failed. Failed, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You got people to pull their works, but people are still going to continue to publish. Or are you going to, like, find inner peace?
Yeah.
So I can sympathize to a certain degree, but at the end of the day, it's like, me personally, I probably would have just found a way to get over it.
Sure. So that statement she made was in April of 2012, and then she changed her mind in November of 2012, saying, I got upset about 20 years ago because I thought it would block me. However, it is very easy to avoid reading any, so live and let live. If I were a young writer, I'd want to own my own ideas, but maybe fanfiction is a transitional phase. Whatever gets you there, gets you there.
Here's the thing, too, where it's also like, if you think about it, these people are going to keep writing this shit even if they don't publish it on the internet. Mm-hmm. Does that upset you? Or is it just the fact that you thought that this was competition and that for some reason some publishing company that already has published your book, which all of this writing is based off of,
right.
is going to take their ideas and find a way to make it more successful? Like,
right. Is
it some backwards way of thinking that is going on?
Even in this statement where she's just like, oh, I got upset about it 20 years ago, but let it live. Even still, in that sentence, she's like, well, if I was that, I want to own my own ideas.
Yeah,
it's just a transitional phase where it's like,
bombastic side eye.
Where it's like, really? Like, that's still like, can you not just
sit back and like say something decent?
Yeah, like, can you not understand that like some people don't want to do their own ideas? Like we were saying, some people just like writing fan fiction.
Yeah.
Like, but still, it's like, mom, it's not a phase. And this is what it is. Like, it's not going to get me anywhere. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But the statement that she made in November 2012 could be because she realized that the resistance to fanfiction is futile, like you said, and she practically destroyed her own fandom because she still stated on her Facebook page that the idea of fanfiction based on her characters makes her uncomfortable. So, I don't know. And I can't ask her because she has died. So, I can't ask her how she feels anymore. And because of this, people did not trust her at all. When the reboot, like I said for you, of the Vampire Chronicles was announced in 2016, Tumblr users that remembered, / were affected, / or just even had the knowledge of Anne Rice's tirade warned potential new fans. Quote, you see, while some people are very much excited for the new show about our pompous king of the assholes, we need to pause and remember this. Anne Rice does not support fanfiction or anything that is not glowing praise. This is difficult for younger fans to understand, but let's take a walk down memory lane. She has threatened to sue writers in the past.
Mm-hmm.
She is one of the most prolific writers of our generation, and she does not support people using her characters for their own work. In fact, in 2000, she went on a binge attack against her fans. She threatened legal action against fans who wrote or drew her characters, but especially those who wrote with them. She sent them weeks of harassing letters and doxed them on the internet. Let me repeat, she doxed people who wrote fanfiction. She harassed them online and threatened to contact employers. She used their fans to outright attack other fans. This isn't even something that she can just shake off now with the comment of, it was so long ago, because she did this to a writer who wrote commentary on her story in 2013. While it is not that she wrote fanfiction, she still shows that she has no respect for people who are in the fandom. In short, do not trust Anne Rice. I love her writing. I have read every book that she has written, but do not trust her. If you search Anne Rice on the website today, a few fanfictions based on her work have slipped through the cracks, but according to one Tumblr user, legend has it that if you say, I don't own these characters and I'm not making any profit, 3 times in the mirror, Anne Rice's lawyers will appear.
Whoa.
So I wanted, like, that's basically the story of Anne Rice.
Mm-hmm.
That is from 1995 to on. I originally was going to do this drama last year,
mm-hmm.
but then she died.
Sorry.
And when I tell you, like, immediately we got news that she had died and people are like, can we write fan fiction now?
Yeah, that's my first question.
And of course that is a lot of people, even in fan fiction spaces, are like, she just passed. Like, she just died, people. And so I felt like, God damn it, Anne Rice, you got me this time. And so I pushed it back a year because I didn't want it to be like, well, she just died. Like, she was a person who did good and did bad. She was a human being at the end of the day. Did she do all good things? No. So I wanted to end this with this little thing that I wrote. On December 11th, 2021, Anne Rice died at a hospital in Rancho Mirage, California, due to complications from a stroke. She was 80 years old. Her son, Christopher Rice, wrote, "As my mother, her support for me was unconditional. She taught me to embrace my dreams, reject conformity, and challenge the dark voices of fear and self-doubt. As a writer, she taught me to defy genre boundaries and surrender to my obsessive passions. In her final hours, I sat beside her in a hospital bed in awe of her accomplishments and her courage, awash in memories of a life that took us from the fog-laced hills of the San Francisco Bay Area to the magical streets of New Orleans to the twinkling vistas of Southern California." In her 50-year career as an author, Rice published nearly 40 books that have sold over 150 million copies worldwide. Some of her works have been published under pseudonyms, which allowed her to break into other genres like erotic fiction. And though Rice had a complicated history with her fans, throughout the years, she also supported and loved the LGBTQ plus community that made her books as prolific as they are today. Many individuals rose to sing Anne Rice's praise, once stating, "Anne Rice was the first person who made me feel like it was okay to be comfortable in my own skin, and that my journey as a transgender woman was special, not because I was by any means odd, weird, or different, but that I was worthy of celebrating because my very existence was a remark on the magic of the complex human condition." Anne Rice's influence over gothic fiction, specifically the vampire genre, is undeniable. She once said, "This thing of vampirism and eternal life is a metaphor for something, and in her case, it was a metaphor for subdued sexual longing and eternal guilt." So, R.I.P. Anne Rice. It was very complicated. I feel like it'd be easier if she was alive, but after she passed, and there was a lot of commentary on, like, "Well, can we write fanfiction now?" And it's just like, her family is mourning her loss.
Yeah.
So that was why I pushed it out, and I still have a very hard time, because it's like, yeah, like, it's not that we shouldn't speak ill of the dead because she did wrong things while she was alive.
Right.
But I don't want this whole episode to be like, fuck Anne Rice, because mm-hmm. it's like, well, she did do it.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I vividly remember reading her books.
Yes.
In middle school and in high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've seen Interview with a Vampire. Yeah. I haven't read the series personally, but, like, her works have influenced my life to mm-hmm. a certain degree. So while I have been like,
yeah,
like, it's one of those things where right. it's like, yeah, she fucked up.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, she also, like, did all these other things. So, like, it's not so much a balance.
Right.
There is still an imbalance, but you can still be like, okay, well, she knew what she was doing at the end of the day.
Yes. But that's the quote that I had pulled, it's a remark on the magic of complex human condition. Human beings are complex. We are right. never going to be all good or all bad. That's just never it, right?
Right.
And so, like, she did a lot for the LGBTQ community, trans people. And when people were like, there's homoerotic subtext, she was like, yeah, there fucking is. She wasn't like, no, you're reading too into that. She was like, absolutely. So there was just this hang up on fan fiction that truly never got solved. No, nobody will ever know, like, what that hang up was. And of course, she's dead now, so no one can really ask her. But was it a very shitty thing to do? And I feel so bad for the people of this time, like people like the Brat Queen, who stated that, like, it felt like a neighbor sent the cops to you instead of knocking on your door being like, can you turn the music down? Like, you know, like she said, people, they knew about this community, and instead of just coming to this community and being like, can you guys stop writing specs, they instead sent lawyers after them.
Yeah.
Which is like, what made you think that was the right move? No one will ever know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, how much of that did you, like, because you were like, oh, Anne Rice, like, XYZ.
Here's the thing, is the extent of what I knew was that she had sent out cease and desist mm-hmm. letters to people. I didn't know what fandom specifically, I didn't know the extent yeah. or how long she had done it. I just know that she was one of the authors that, at least in the fanfiction space, people are like, don't fuck with her. So it's like, okay, well, and to my knowledge, no one's ever been taken to court.
No.
Not just in her case, but,
oh, but in general?
In general,
yeah,
about
as far
fan
as
fiction
I know.
Stuff. As far as I'm aware, I could yeah. be wrong. I could be missing out on something. But as far as I'm aware, no one in fan fiction spaces has ever been taken to court, but they have been sent cease and desist letters. And normally it's like rich versus poor. I have to comply.
Yes.
So that was my extent of it.
Yeah.
I had no idea that it was the Interview with the Vampire people.
Yeah.
I had no idea about the chat rooms mm-hmm. or the specs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew the vague.
Don't Rice, fuck with Anne
Rice. Big scary, don't mess.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm not in a fandom of hers, so I don't think right. that'll be a problem.
And
for
I
me.
Feel like, I mean, I haven't really felt a whole bunch from the new show that's currently being aired, so I don't know if it has the same, and it might not, because when it was published in the 70s, obviously it was a very different time for the LGBTQ community than it is today, where it's like, that was maybe the only thing that they could grasp and be like, this is my everything, where there's a lot more variety.
Well, we see drag queens on TV now.
Yes.
So that's a big difference.
Yes.
I would say.
So I haven't seen it as make a, much of a splash. And, you know, I would hope that, like, her estate wouldn't be the same way as she was.
We will see.
We will
see. It is still very fresh to be like, you know, we've been fiction. Like,
right.
She died late last year.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, you know.
Yeah.
We're taking our time.
It's okay, you know? So. There's a lot of things. It's always very interesting to me to learn because it's like, I never personally thought, like, why do we put the disclaimers there? It was just like, oh yeah, we do that thing.
But that's the thing, is it like, it felt like weird that some parts of some fandoms did it.
Yeah.
Other fandoms didn't do it at all.
Yeah.
Some fandoms entirely did it.
Right.
I never found a rhyme or reason. I think, in fact, in some of my old stuff on Tumblr, I might have copy-pasted that, like, one or two times. I gave up on it after a while, because I was like,
of course.
Why am I doing this? I'm fucking 15 years old. No one's gonna, like, sue me
15
over this.
Old with a cease and desist letter.
Yeah, like, Mom, look at me! You know?
Baby's first cease and desist!
Yeah. So, I think, I just, like, it's very interesting, especially since, like, a lot of what I saw that on was, like, anime stuff, and I was like, you think these people give a shit?
Right. Yeah, and of course, like, Anne Rice was in the United States sending cease and desist letters to people in the United States. And it's like, I don't know, I feel like we've talked about this a lot where I go through different histories and different dramas where it's like, it's so interesting when I do this research and go like, this is why AO3 is important. This is why, like, here's why we don't have to hide anymore because
of
AO3.
We have it so good.
We have it so good. And, like, the fact that when people were posting speculative fiction, they were just like, oh, here's my full name, my address, my email address. Like, that's like, I don't know if that changed because of Anne Rice, where people were like, get usernames, do not use your actual information. Like, I don't know. Because maybe when it was in the time of, you know, GeoCities and Angel Fires and Usernet groups where it was only 100 people, it was like, yeah, here's my full name. There's only so many people here. I mean, that could have changed over the, you know, evolution of fan fiction where it became hundreds to thousands to millions of people. But without fail, every single time I do one of these, I always go, thank God for AO3. That is always how I come out of it at the end of the day.
Yippee!
Every single time.
Yeah. I love the meme on TikTok right now where it's an AO3 meme, but it's like, if there's internet, there's a way. And
yes.
It's like people on their Apple Watches getting
yes.
and people on Minecraft.
People on their Switch. I saw someone on their fridge.
Oh, fuck yeah. It was like, this is a trend I can fully
yes.
get behind.
Yes.
Good for you.
But yeah, I consistently keep ending these with, like, donate your money to AO3. It's not going to nowhere. It's going to lawyers. It's going to servers to make sure that, like, the servers can keep all of the fan fiction, which if Maya's number 8 million and that was 3 years ago, God knows how many users are on AO3 now. It costs a lot of money for that. So the fact that they're not even, you know, trying to erase the old ones, any of them, continue to have their lawyers, you know, and have the money to run the service so they don't need to have ads, because then the advertisers dictate what goes on that website because they need money, which is what happened to fanfiction.net.
Right. Yeah.
There's always that discourse, but it's always is at the end of the day, AO3 needs that money.
They do. And, you know, they usually have their campaign towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
But they always...
They always take the donations.
They always... year round.
Yep.
And even then, while they're campaigning, they usually crush their goals.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if it's a dollar.
Yeah.
Even if it's 20 cents.
Yeah.
Like, that's something.
But I do hope that, you know, because every single time, twice a year, when the campaigns come around, there's always that discourse. And I really hope that each of my drama and my history episodes are like, these situations that some people might not know about or have forgotten about happened because we didn't have AO3 and OTW.
Right.
And now we have them. And we cannot lose them. Please. Yippee. So it's like, I really just hope that's like what those episodes of mine are doing at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Are just like, you remember what this, if you, even if like when, you know, that one fan fiction was published before we were even born, how are we supposed to know about that Usenet group, right? Unless it was for people back then telling their stories, and then I want to tell their stories. Mm-hmm. So that the people who are listening, AO3 exists for a reason. OGW exists for a reason. Please send them your fucking money, because we cannot lose them. Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.